Dear Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for the love you continue to bestow upon us. Thank you, love, for demonstrating your love by sending your son to die on our behalf at Calvary's cross. Lord, thank you for resurrecting him, Lord, with all power, with all authority. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to serve you, to be reconciled back to you. We are thankful for his blood. Thank you for the message of the gospel, Lord, that Brother Orr will proclaim this evening. Pray, Lord, he conveys those facts that are necessary for all men to obey before it is eternally lasting too late. Heavenly Father, we ask that there's a seeker seeking the truth this evening. Thank you for placing Brother Orr in their path. Pray, Lord, that someone's heart is pricked this evening. Pray, Lord, that your word have recourse. In your son's Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flounder. We are very grateful tonight to have each and every person on the call, especially those of you who are not members of the Church of Christ. You are very honored guests. You are my personal VIP along with those of us who love you. We love your souls, and we want you to be on this call, and those who have invited you to be on this call wanted you to hear these basic truths that we're going to be teaching. Now, we encourage you to open your Bible and pay attention to the things our speaker will talk about tonight, especially as it pertains to your soul salvation. We know people are dying every day. It's obvious people are dying. With the COVID, it's been a reminder of us that death is certain. Now, however, there's a soul to save. And so tonight, we got a speaker on tonight with this month's theme for September, for what set the scripture about. We talked about the one body last night, being the one church. Tonight, the one spirit. What said the scripture about the one spirit? Our speaker, someone I've talked to today, and very sound brother, and love him, and so good to know him and be able to talk to him. He is a graduate of the Florida School of Preaching in Lakeland, Florida, and is in his 35th year as minister of the Church of Christ in West Orlando, in Orlando, Florida. So we are very grateful, Brother Charles Orr will talk to us tonight about what does the scripture say about the one spirit. Brother Orr, tell us about that.
We thank you very much, Brother Brooks, for the invitation to speak tonight, and we're very happy to. We appreciate the leadership there where you labor, and we appreciate all the brethren who have participated thus far in this gospel meeting. I was very honored to take this particular subject to speak about tonight because I believe it is a great one and is one that needs to be thoroughly understood. I have been assigned the subject, the one spirit, the one spirit. Now, this phrase is used throughout the Bible and in particular in the New Testament. The, a definite article, is not necessary when talking about the one spirit. In fact, as we will see in the scriptural text that we're going to use and many other scriptures, it is referred to as one spirit. Now, the text that I have chosen is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. And I appreciate, again, the free course I've been given to speak on this subject. And I chose this text. It wasn't assigned to me. It's one that I think will emphasize the point that we're trying to make relative to the one spirit. And the text says, "For by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into the one spirit." Notice, "for by one spirit," not the one spirit, although it is referring to the one and only spirit. Those of us who study more deeply the Word of God, we have come to know that in the Greek language, this book, particularly the New Testament, is written in Koine Greek, and it does not have a definite article. However, in the English language, in order to express the oneness of anything, the is used. Look at the passages where this phrase is used, at least some of them. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4, there is one body and, notice, one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Again, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17 through verse number 18, the same phrase, one spirit. He speaks of Christ and what he did, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh, For through him we both have access, now listen, by one Spirit unto the Father. Again, in John chapter 3 and verse number 8, now we see the addition of the word thee, denoting one and only. Again, the thee is superfluous because we're yet talking about one Spirit. He says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whether it goeth. So is every one that is born, now listen, of the Spirit. In Acts chapter 11 and verse number 28, you remember when Barnabas was sent down to Antioch to work with the brethren at the church at Antioch in Syria. Once getting there, he recognized he needed some help, and so he went over to Tarsus, and he got Saul of Tarsus, whom we know as Paul, the Apostle Paul. And when he brought him back to Antioch, the Bible says that the prophets came together from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And the Bible says, and there stood up one of them, named Agabus, and signified, now listen, by the Spirit, that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. So when we see one Spirit, or we see the Spirit in the Bible, it's important for us to understand that it is signifying one. The second thing we need to note is, when it says one Spirit or the Spirit, we need to know what Spirit that is. For truly, we know that there are many spirits in the world. But what Spirit is the Spirit or the one Spirit that we're referring to tonight and is mentioned in our text in 1 Corinthians 12:13? Well, we're referring to the one Spirit of God. We first saw God's Spirit in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 2. The Bible says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now listen, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Again, in Genesis chapter 41 and verse number 38, after Joseph had sought God for the interpretation of Pharaoh's dream, Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such an one as this is, a man in whom, listen, the Spirit of God is. Then in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16, you remember the baptism of John, of Jesus by John. The Bible says, and when Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw, listen, the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. This one Spirit is also called the Spirit of Christ. In Romans chapter 8 and verse number 9, Paul writes, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And so the one Spirit that we're talking about tonight is the Spirit of God, i.e. the Spirit of Jesus Christ. This one Spirit, number two, is a person, not an it, but a person. We know this because the Scripture speaks with respect to him, using personal masculine pronouns. He possesses then a personality. In John chapter 14 and verse number 6, John 14 and verse number 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you. Notice, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Again, in John chapter 16, verse number 7 and verse number 8, the Bible says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, notice, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him, highlight in your Bibles, the Comforter and him. I will send him unto you. And when he is come, highlight he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And look at verse 13. And verse 14, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. The Holy Spirit is a person. He possesses a personality. Also, he manifests personal characteristics. I want this point to be emphasized greatly because throughout Christendom, you hear folk talking of the Holy Spirit, the one Spirit, as if he is an it. The Bible speaks of the one Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, as a person possessing personal characteristics. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 11, we learn that he has a free will and he exercises it in the distribution of miraculous or spiritual gifts. I want to begin in verse number 11. He says, but all these worketh the one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man, now listen here, severally as he will. The Holy Spirit of God has a will, and he is the one that divides to every man severally, personally, individually, as he will. We also learn from Romans chapter 15 and verse number 30 that the Holy Spirit loves. Notice the person of the Holy Spirit, the characteristic of love. The Bible says, now I beseech you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. The Holy Spirit loves, showing the characteristics of his person. And not only this, but he acts as a person. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 1 that he speaks. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The Spirit of God, he literally speaks. We see it also in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7, verse 11, verse 17, and verse 29. Again, Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, 11, 17, and 29. And the text reads, let he that hath an ear hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He speaks just as you and I would speak. Not only that, but he leads. In Romans chapter 8 and verse number 14. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 14. I pause because I know some may be turning in your Bible. And I want you to see, put your eyes on it if you're able. If not, take pen and paper and write it down. The one Spirit of God, God's Spirit, is a person manifesting personal characteristics, acting like a person. He leads, Paul says in Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Holy Spirit is a person. In fact, the Bible teaches us, number three, that this one Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. He's deity. In 1 John chapter 5, and verse number 7, 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 7, John declares, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, i.e. Holy Spirit. And these three are one. The Holy Spirit is indeed the third person of the Godhead. He manifests all of the characteristics of God. For example, he's omnipresent. In Psalms 139, Psalms 139 and 39, verses 7 through 10, David asks a question. Whether shall I go, notice, from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into the heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Where could he go? From God's Spirit. God's Spirit is omnipresent. Not only that, in Luke chapter 1 and verse number 35, we learn that God's Spirit is omnipotent. It's all-powerful. For when Mary was told that she should conceive of the Holy Spirit a child, Mary wanted to know how could those things be. And the angel said unto Mary, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Notice, the Holy Ghost is powerful. He is able and was able in this case with Mary to effect that which man cannot do, and no one else for that matter, other than God the Father and the Son. Not only is the Holy Spirit omnipresent and omnipotent, but he is omniscient. In John chapter 14 and verse number 26, Jesus declares, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. Now listen, how could he teach them all things and bring all things to their remembrance if he did not know all things? We're speaking of God's Spirit, the third person in the Godhead. Not only is he omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient, but the Bible says he is eternal. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13 through 14, the Bible says, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkle the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, now listen, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. In fact, the Holy Spirit is God. The Bible says in Acts chapter 5, you remember the occasion, the church had great need. All that were possessors of houses and land sold them, bought the price, laid it at the apostles' feet. And there was a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, who sold a possession and kept back part of the price. The Bible says his wife also being privy to it and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said to Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie, notice, to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the money? Now listen, he kept back part. He kept back what now? He kept back part of the money. Peter says, now when it was in your own power, it was yours. Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, now listen, but unto God. What did he say up here earlier? Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? And then he says, thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. What is this telling us? The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, is indeed deity. He's God. He's not God the Father. He's not God the Son. But he's God the Holy Spirit. And not only that, number four, we need to understand that the one Spirit must be in you in order for you to be saved. If the one Spirit, God's Spirit, the third person of the Godhead is not in you, you cannot be saved. Now, I want to say this because we're not talking here tonight about the means by which, of course, we all know through the Word of God, and if you don't, you can talk to me later. But unless you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, you can't be saved. In fact, in Romans 8 and verse number 9, we learn that if you have not the Spirit of Christ dwelling in you, you're none of his. You can't even belong to God if you don't have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. And you need to understand, secondly, that the Holy Spirit cannot dwell in you unless God gives him to you. The Bible says in Acts 5 and verse number 32, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Who gives the Holy Spirit? God does. And when does God give the Holy Spirit? The Bible says in that same verse, when one obeys God. You must obey God to have the Spirit of God dwelling in you in order for you to be saved. And so that leads us to our text. Paul, in writing to the Corinthians here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 13, he tells them, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into the one Spirit. Now, dear friends, this is not talking about Holy Spirit baptism. We know this, because he said, for by one Spirit are we all baptized. Is that not what he says? Into one body. And we know from Ephesians 1:22, the body is the church and the church is the body. It is the church of Christ. And we understand that this baptism that puts us into the body of Christ is water baptism. That's why Peter said on the day of Pentecost, after the establishment of the Church of Christ, that one had to repent, Acts 2:38, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I like the Phillips translation on that one. And ye shall receive the Holy Ghost as a gift. God gives his Spirit to those that obey him. When one obeys God, he is obeying the one and self-same Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of God that brought the message of God in order for the Corinthians and all others to receive. We would not even know anything about God's will except it were by his Spirit. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 9. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 9, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared to them that love him. Now, I want you to know, because time is running out, I want you to know that this verse is speaking prior to the delivery of God's will by the Holy Spirit, the message that we were to obey. So prior to, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither had entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared to them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us, how? By his Spirit. Spirit searcheth all things, yet the deep things of God. And he says, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God brought the message of God that the Corinthians had to obey. Now, what was that message? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says in verse 1, moreover, brethren, if you keep in memory what I've preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. What did you preach, Paul? Well, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Paul taught the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ unto these Corinthians according to the scriptures. He also taught unto them the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through verse number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. Paul said, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." He taught them the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the church. And in order for one to in a safe condition with God, he has to be baptized into the kingdom of God. But he could not be until he received the message of the Spirit. And that's why Paul wrote the church of Galatia and said, "We are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Dear friends, tonight, if you want to enter a safe condition with God, if you want to have a hope of going to heaven, if you want to have a hope of being resurrected in life, Romans 8, verse 14, you're going to have to be baptized according to the teaching of the Spirit of God. It's God's Spirit. He brought God's message, and you and I must hear it, Matthew 15, 10, understand it, believe it, Hebrews 11 and 6, without faith you can't please him. Obey it in repentance, Acts 17, 30 and 31. Confession of the name of Jesus Christ with your mouth, Romans 10 and 10, Acts 8, 36 and 37. Surrender to the watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sins. He adds you then to his body, the church. May God ever hasten the day when all of humanity will adhere to the teaching of God's Spirit and be baptized according to that teaching. Thank you so very much.
And thank you, Brother Orr. Wow, what a great lesson on the One Spirit. To our visitors, to those who are listening, understand what we're doing through this message, through 30 minutes you allow us to come to your home. It's teaching you, using men of God, earthen vessels, such as Brother Charles Orr, to break the scripture down in a simple way to understand third person in Godhead is one Spirit who has given us the scripture, and we must obey it. Will you obey that tonight? When you obey the scripture, you obey the Spirit. And so we hope tonight that you will consider the information we have in the scripture is given to us by the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Godhead. And to obey it, you obey in the Spirit, and we hope you will obey. We hope you've heard enough to obey. If you're on the call tonight, you're not a member of the Church of Christ. It was the Spirit who told us that to say that in the Church of Christ. Why won't you obey the God? If you have questions, why don't you get back with the person who invited you to the call and tell them, "I want to obey the Spirit of God." And you obey by being baptized for the remission of your sins. And then the Lord will add you to the one church, the Church of Christ. What we're giving you is from the Scripture. What said the Scripture about this? And Brother Orr's done a great job tonight of making it very simple and very plain that the Holy Spirit is all-powerful, all-knowing. He's everywhere. And we are thankful that God has given us the Spirit. So would you decide to be baptized? If you decide to be baptized, make that decision. Like one did on this past Sunday. Make the decision. Maybe you listen several times. At some point, you got to make the decision to be born again, be baptized. If you need help with further studies, I know Brother Charles Orr would be happy to talk to you personally. I will talk to you personally. We will arrange a Bible class with somebody with a sound preacher in your area, no matter where you are in the United States, a nation, where you are listening. We will make sure we get a preacher to you to teach you further. Email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. And we will make that happen. If you decide to be baptized, like many have done, we'll make the arrangements for you. If you decide that you want further studies, don't put it off. People are dying every day. Don't put it off. Make this something that's very urgent and important to you. So we thank you for listening. Please, if you want to go back and listen and really take notes of what Brother Charles has said tonight, go to our website. His recorded message will be on there for you to review, rewind it. You can review it. You can slow it down. You can stop it. You're not going to get everything just by listening to 30 minutes. Go back and listen to these messages. Not only his, but many of these sound preachers we brought on since the month of May, all these men are talking about. What I've asked them to do is talk about what must you do to save your soul. What information must you know? And we have done that. It's up to you. Go back and review. And we ask you to go HollandHeightsCoc.net. That's HollandHeightsCoc.net. If you go on our website, there you'll find under Nationwide Gospel Meeting, you can click on that under Sermon tab, and all the sermons are there. You can download them. You can review them. If you're elderly and you don't have internet access, all you have is a phone, email me and we'll make sure you get some CDs to you. But those who can download, it's free, no charge to it, and we want you to do that. We're trying to make everything available to you that you need. And so we hope you'll go to our website. Not only go to our website, check out our YouTube, check out all the Facebook information. It's everywhere. It's on our Facebook. It's on our YouTube. You just go on our website. It's linked to our YouTube, to our Facebook. You can get this information, and we want you to have it. Let us pray to God about this. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings of life. And Lord, we're just so thankful that you loved us, Father. And it was your love, according to John 3:16, that you gave your only begotten Son, that we should not perish if we believe. And we should not, because you've given us all the written instructions, what we must do to prepare for death and prepare for salvation, eternal life with you. Thank you for loving us. We know you gave your only Son, and it was an excruciating, painful death on the cross in Calvary, where they hung him, and we know that you saw the travail of your Son, according to Isaiah 53, that he was suffering, and he suffered, he hung on that cross for 6 hours to save us. And Father, we know you allowed that to happen. It was your will, and your Son done your will. And now help us to do your will. Help our listening audience. We pray for their hearts to be open to receive with meekness your grafted word, for it's able to save their precious souls. And we thank you for speakers like Brother Charles and many others who have come on our call, who are true to your word and without addition or subtraction. And we thank you for these men. We pray for them. We pray for all of our speakers, Lord. Bless them to not leave the truth, but to stay with the simple truth and teach it in a way that the least educated person can understand what they must do to be saved. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so very much for joining us tonight. Join us tomorrow night for The One Hope by Brother Brock Kimmler from Harrisburg, Arkansas. To the members of the Church of Christ who have been joining us since the month of May, hope you haven't missed the night. I'm 100%. I'm here every night. It would be good to have some feedback from those of you who are a member of the church. If you've been on every night, if you're 100%, batting 100%, go ahead and send us an email and brag about it a little bit. I'm going to brag with you. I've been on every night. I feel like I have been in school sitting at the feet of many sound preachers from across this nation since the month of May. I've been preaching 36 years, but I can tell you this. I know this. The more I know, the more I know I don't know enough. As long as I know I don't know enough, I'm free to learn more. And I've been learning from these great preachers, and I know you have too. It is my prayer tonight that you all will have a good night's rest, sleep peacefully. If you have not been saved, it's going to be hard to sleep peacefully. But you can do it by obeying the Spirit of God and doing what he obeyed. Let him lead you. May God bless you all. Have a good night and rest. Join us tomorrow night from 9 to 9:30. Thank you for allowing us to come to your home for 30 minutes with the simple truth. Good night.